Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, hello, everyone. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually and physically fit. Do you often feel yourself feeling lost, alone, overwhelmed, and unsure how to help yourself, much less help someone else in your family? Would you like to see that someone else has walked your path? So you can. There is hope. And our next guest is going to show you how to dance with Jesus from grief to grace after this little commercial.
Renee Wiggins is a Christian life coach and host of Transformation Give Up the Struggle, where she helps to equip and empower you from the inside out, so you can share your story in order that others may grow physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Well, you know, on Thursdays I have my other show called Transformation Give Up the Struggle. It's authors that come and share their stories so they inspire, motivate you, and encourage you to live a more positive life. So that's my little promotion for Thursday. But today we have Susan B. Mead. She has been blessed to be married to her soulmate, Holt Mead, since 1979. She thought for 30 years they spent working on learning what a soulmate are or should be, and she still want to know if they're still working on that. She's the mother of two sons, Matthew, who lives in South Louisiana, and Kyle, forever 20 and in heaven, where he is doing a dance with Jesus. Kyle has been there since March 29, 2008. And God bless you, Kyle. Rest in peace. She wrote the book Dance with Jesus from Grief to Grace as her answer to a question posed in the Experiencing God Bible study she was in the midst of doing. The question asked was, what does God want to do right now? Especially when you have lost a loved one. You know this is Memorial Day weekend, and we have lost a lot of people from World War II, even if you want to count the Revolutionary War up until now. And so there's a lot of fallen soldiers. First, you want to say thank you for giving up your lives so we will have freedom. But a lot of people are still grieving over the loss, even from World War I, World War II, or the Korean War. So we're going to hear from Susan B. Mead, the teacher's how to dance with Jesus from grief to grace. Hi, Susan.
Hey, Renee. How are you?
Fine. You. I know I gave everybody a short bio about you, but I want you to tell a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
Hi. Well, I'm native Texan, so you're going to hear that. I got dipped across the South and up through New Jersey. I spent my career with Johnson & Johnson. I spent 22 years on the diabetes side, so I understand the healthy side as well, but along the way, you know, I lost a sister, and I lost a son, and I lost a sister-in-law and brother-in-law, and I was sitting in Boston when the bomb went off 2 years ago, and Renee, when you experience that, God has a way of calling you out to do something different, and that was my call out to do something different. So I defied from Johnson & Johnson 10 years early. I became certified as a chaplain and got my certification in grief for individuals, groups, and grief following trauma. So now I just help others find the calm in the chaos of life.
That is something when you do go into that, I guess, that position as a grief counselor, because you're always in that negativity and you got to bring people up, but in a way not to embarrass, not to insult them. So how did you, I know you said you had about four or five people you lost, how did you come up with this book and then also with the title?
That's a great one. I had no idea that God wanted me to write a book. I mean, literally, Renee, when that question was posed, what does God want you to do right now? the first thing I heard was sing my love song, and I laughed at God and said, seriously, God, you're going to have to send me a bucket because I can't carry tune, and you know it. And then the next little nudge was, what's in your hand, use it. And there was a pen in my hand. So I swept the workbook away and got a journal out, put pen to paper, and the words just flowed out. At 5:30 in the morning, I put the pen down, went to bed, and the first email I saw when I got up later that day was Proverbs 31 Ministry. She speaks speakers and writers conference, and it was like, writers conference, God? Seriously? So that's how I wrote a book without intending to.
Wow. And you picked From Grief to Grace, because I just can't imagine, and you know, I have relatives that have gone through, you know, we lost them and we grieve, and then, you know, the one closest to them really, you know, I guess, I don't want to say get over it, but they still, even from people from what, 9/11, you still hear them talking about who they lost. How can you help them? What can you say to those people?
We lived 50 miles away from there when that happened, so I understand the grief and the impact, because the couple around the street from us, her dad was the fire captain for the World Trade Center, retired. Mm. He only worked Tuesdays and Thursdays, and what day of the week did the towers fall? Tuesday.
Yeah.
He had traded, so he was not there, but they had 113 funerals to go to. On my son's hockey league, we had 11 parents lost in the league, and one of them was pregnant with number 6. So we felt it, not directly to our family, but in that sphere of family and friends, and it's real, and it's tangible.
It is real, because I remember that day my parents went in, because what happened was there was an accident, and my father and mother go in to see the lawyer there, not in Long Island. And of all days, like you said, to go. And I said, well, couldn't I go with you? They said no. And they weren't far, because they noticed people were pointing up to the building, and and somebody made them go inside another building, gave him a mask and said, wait a minute. And then he walked them to the nearest ferry boat, and they got on that. So I know what you're talking about, because even though a lot of those people weren't close, we all lost something, and we're still grieving today. But for you to write a book, Dance with Jesus, because people are going to say, Dance with Jesus. Do what you mean, Dance with Jesus?
Great question. Well, let me go there. The morning that I lost Kyle, he was my younger son, so my baby, I had a dream. And in that dream, Kyle was wearing his blue jeans, his Scooby-Doo shirt, and his blazer. He was at an official hockey function. He played ice hockey. He was way down low, think deep squat, deep squat, with his arms circling in front of him, dancing. Two hockey sticks were propped against the wall behind him, and Jesus was mirror image dancing with him, Renee, just like him, way down low in a squat, arms going. And when Jesus saw me, he stood up, stretched his arm out, and pointed into my face and said, this is to bring you great joy. Taught him how. I taught him how to dance. So this mama saw that baby where he was supposed to be. But here's the second part of the story. 2 days later, we went down to South Louisiana to do a memorial service for the kids at his college that couldn't come up for a service. And one of the girls had made a banner, about a 3-foot banner, with pictures from all the kids' cell phones and cameras and stuff. And as I got it unrolled halfway, I stopped in my tracks, because there was a picture of Kyle in his blue jeans, his Scooby-Doo shirt, his blazer, way down low, think deep squat, arms circling in front of him, and one hockey stick propped up behind him on the wall. Not mirror image, no Jesus, but there was Kyle 2 days after the dream.
Wow.
Hello, God.
That is really deep. There's nothing but God right there.
Isn't it beautiful?
Beautiful. He's letting you know he's okay.
Yes, ma'am. And he's dancing.
That
he was
so
a cut
beautiful.
Up, so he would have been anyhow. But I tell you what, when God confirms it and said, I taught him how, I was like, come on.
Oh, that is so beautiful, because I went to see a play, Susan, and so the guy asked, whose birthday is it? Was it yesterday, today, or tomorrow? In other words, stay within those 3 days. Of course, people talking about next month and everything. He looked at the guy, didn't you hear me? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So this lady said, it's my husband's birthday. So he said, well, okay, where's your husband? And that's when she said, he's at Arlington Cemetery. And he kind of like looked her, and the whole room got silent, because she said, we are thinking that when she said it's his birthday, we're thinking, okay, you know, he's alive. But when she said in the Arlington Cemetery, and he said, you know what? So, and then he came back, so is my mother, and some blah, 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 he named. And guess what? Oh, God, he even said they're dancing, they're having a party. So I didn't think about that when I just until now. And he said they're having a party. But my thing was, when somebody is still, you know, I don't know if he died a year ago or what, she's still feeling it. What do you say? I mean, because you got to, I've been reading after you, and it's, they say there's certain words you shouldn't say, that time heals all wounds, or say things like that, because, you know, it's, I guess, more of an insult, or they look at you like, what? You know.
Right. You know what, the most beautiful words that I was taught when I was getting my chaplain's certification was, I can't imagine. Those words are so graceful, because we truly cannot imagine their pain. I may have experienced a loss that's identical to theirs, but I didn't grow up under the same environment. I haven't experienced the same things. I truly cannot imagine how you would feel if the same thing happened to you that happened to me, Renee. And it gives dignity to the individual and grace and respect.
Wow, that is your words, grief to grace. Yeah, you're right, because we don't know what to say. You know, I had a friend who lost a brother in January, then lost a father in May, and then lost an uncle in June, and then lost a niece in July. It just seemed like every other month she's going through a funeral, you know, and it's just, you know, how can somebody reciprocate? How can somebody bounce back from that when it's constantly bombarded with death? And, you know, that's really a heavy load on anybody. Even like you said, you, it's a heavy load. So, you know, what is going on with that person? Do they see somebody, a therapist? Should they talk it out? Should they write it out? What should they do?
You know what, I don't think that there's one answer. The one thing that I know is everybody experiences grief differently. So they're going to process differently. What works for me may not work for another. But I actually had three things that I had to do, because I found that I had to look up, because when I looked down, I was looking within myself, and it was a very dark spot. I was alone, and and if you think kind of like the Grand Canyon, in the deepest, darkest, most ragged place, that's where that raw hole felt like, deep, dark, ragged, alone, in an abyss. That word probably describes it well. So I had to look up to see somebody else making it, because that became a little light for me to look to. Somebody else, and I had two friends who had lost sons years before, and they were living. And I knew if they could, I could. By God, I could. And the other thing I had to look to was the Word of God. And I think Bible Gateway became one of my dearest friends, because I could search comfort, mourn, heal, loss. And I could do word searches and see, what does God say about this? Because I needed, it also said I had to renew my mind. And if I did not renew my mind, I'd stay in that black hole, and that was not an option. So I had to look up, had to look to others, and I had to look to the Word of God, and that was how I stepped out of that big old black hole.
Wow, that's really poetic. Renew your mind, because if you don't, if you, like you said, if you don't renew it, you stay right deep in that pit of, oh boy, of grief, depression, and everything. But I like how you said you went to the Word. You went to the Word every time. A lot of times people stop blaming God and denying God. Did you find you did that?
Renee, you know what my son did? He still does. So my oldest son, we can add him to your prayer list, Matthew Mead. He's like, how can there be a God if he would allow my baby brother to die? How can there be? And I know this. God says, you praise me for his salvation. You don't beg me for it. You praise me. Because it's coming. It's just going to take a mighty prayer to get it. So I'm going to praise God because his word is faithful. So I've got to be faithful with what he's asked me to do on my side of the equation. So I'm praising. I'm praising. But Matthew's got his boxing gloves on. And a lot of people go that same place. And I think we have to cover them in prayer because they truly, they're so broken. You know, and I think that's the key is I was so broken, I didn't know how to take care of me, much less Holt or Matt or anybody else. And if somebody said, what do you need? Kyle. And that wasn't an option. So I also learned don't ask somebody what they need. Because they might, you might get an answer that says the child that they just lost or the love that they just lost or something. It's, you know what, I care so deeply. And if God has put something on your heart to do, go do it. It's there for a reason. That intuition, that nudge, that's God pushing and shoving. Come on, pull it out. Let's go.
Wow. You're right about that because I'm a massage therapist, and I was at a work site, and I was massaging this lady, and all of a sudden she just cried, just started crying. I was like, look, neighbor, okay, what am I supposed to do next? I have a friend that know how to zero people down. Later, come find out the week before, 2 weeks before, her daughter was killed by somebody driving by, what they call drive-by shooting. And it gets that, you know, somebody touching her and everything just broke out the wounds. And I found that a lot when I'm in a massage room and one lady started crying. She said, oh, because you rub me and everything, I see my grandma, you know. And I said, oh, boy. So it brings a lot out, you know.
Right.
And sometimes psychiatrists would recommend people to go get a massage because it brings a lot of feelings and they got to release it. So I want to ask you, don't keep it, you said. Talk with other people. Find people that can help you, because otherwise if you keep it to yourself, what do you think would go wrong or what happened?
Well, if I had, when I stayed within myself, I was digging a deeper, darker hole. And so I think when people don't shed tears and they keep to themselves, you know, unshed tears eat the body. And you see disease and you see stress diseases and you see cancers and you see depression and you see all these symptoms of keeping it to yourself and of keeping a stiff upper lip. The reality is the inside of our bodies crying for help. So it begs us to reach out. And I think what you say, that muscle tension and getting that released, is a beautiful blessing, Renee. Skilled hands make beautiful things. Beautiful thing. So what a gift you bring to somebody who needs just the achy soreness to be released because they're in a tight knot themselves.
Well, the way you put it, because when you were talking, I was thinking of that because our body is like a sponge for my listeners out there. So when you're holding stress, when you're holding grief, believe it or not, it's like getting knots all over your body because you're tense in that particular area. And so if you don't release it and you think you release it, you actually don't until somebody bumps into it, until somebody says something to you, until something, somebody do something to you. So you got to release it. It's like a cold, you know, a sneeze. A sneeze gets rid of what's inside that shouldn't belong there.
Yeah.
And so you got to sneeze it out. You got to get it out. Now, you can still embrace grief and, you know, go around, like you said, do maybe – I guess fundraisers like the sniper's wife, Kyle, now she's going around giving a lot of speeches. That's, I guess you can say, also a therapeutic for her because she has to talk it out.
Yeah, and absolutely. I wrote a book. Didn't have a desire to. Didn't know that that's what God wanted me to do. But, you know, one thing that I did notice is we moved about 3 months after we lost Kyle. And one of my biggest fears is my new friends wouldn't know him, and I'd never hear his name again, Renee. And I think it's so powerful for us to share, tell those stories. I want to hear. I want to know. Introduce me to Kyle, or You know, it's not that I'm stuck in the past or they're stuck in the past, but every now and then just paying tribute to that individual, the Vietnam vet that lost their life fighting for our freedom. You know, whoever it is that went down in Afghanistan or Desert Storm, thank you. Thank you. And for the family, thank you for allowing them to go and fight for us. So whatever that loss is, I think it's so important to be able to say, thank you. You know, I had Kyle for 20 years. He was a cut-up. And people love hearing the stories. And, you know, he's probably a cut-up in heaven. So I can see Jesus dancing with him, you know?
Right, right.
Got a fun.
You're right. So your book, Dancing with Jesus, do you offer it like a workbook? Do you give us some tools that we can live by or use?
You know what? At the end of each chapter, I started each chapter with scripture and then told a story, and I ended each chapter. I turned the spotlight from me to the reader with each chapter, and I wrote every reader into that book. So they had an opportunity to think about what God is doing for them or saying to them or how he's touching them or any experience. You know, each chapter was a little different, whatever might be pertinent to that chapter. So they have a kind of be still and listen and hear God, just those quiet moments of introspection with God.
That sounds really nice, a quiet moment to spend with God. So later on, they can dance with God, dance with Jesus, from grief to grace. This is Susan Mee telling us that it's okay to grieve people, and it's just also grieve with the person. And sometimes it's better even to sit in silence with that person and just hold their hand. Do you think?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I did a blog recently at Living Well, Spending Less, that talked about the five gracious gifts you can give a grieving friend. And one of them is your presence. You know, just being there, comforting them. And there's so many times that I turned and tucked my tail and ran because I didn't know the words to say, but I've learned differently. They just need to know I care. And if that's all I say is I care and I don't have a clue what to say now, they're okay with that. The fewer words, give them grace, but your presence means I love you and you matter. And I think that's a huge gift. And the other gift, Renee, that is probably one of the ones that most people don't think about, and I didn't realize how cool it was until I needed it. One of my friends showed up with this huge case with toilet paper, paper towels, paper plates, plastic utensils, cups, and a case of water, all the stuff you need for when people show up at your house. And lots of people show up at the house when you've lost them. I never thought about that. What a great thing to take over.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is. And it's so funny because I give stamps for those, you know, because people will come over and they got to put stamps and say thank you. And so I give stamps because I think I sent stamps and people said, well, what's this? And I said, well, stamps because you're going to be sending out. And they said, oh, wow, this was a great idea. I never even thought of it. Because, you know, when you're in that mourning, you know, and you're grieving, you know, you're not thinking those things. Because there's somebody off the sidelines that's doing all that for you. I remember my cousin with my father, that she was gathering all the letters together and she wrote the envelopes, but she just didn't have any stamps. And she wrote the names list, and then she said, now you got to get some stamps. And so I give stamps, right. But, you know,
beautiful.
You're right. You don't have to worry about dishes. Yeah, work dishes or anything like that. Oh, this is really profound. This is really good. Boy. So in the book, Dance with Jesus. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But when you said stamps, probably an address book to capture and keep all those addresses, too, with the stamps. How beautiful would that be?
Yay.
Huh. Little light bulbs going off here.
Yes. We're coming up with some things, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's really nice. That's really nice. And it's funny we talked about it because I don't know if you saw on TV recently, this lady was suffering from cancer, and she said the things people would say, it was so negative to her, so putting her, not really putting down intention, they didn't realize it, that she developed cards. And a lot of people would congratulate, thank you, because this is how I feel, this is what people say to me, all out of what people were saying that was negative. So when you were saying that too, address books and, you know, the stamps and thinking of all that could be, I don't want to say it, but like a funeral basket to give the person so they don't think of what they got to get, what they got to do, you know. Wow, that is something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And so even put your book in there too, you know, Dance with Jesus. Wow, that's really something. So the journey, because this is considered a journey, you know, you said about with one or two tools for your journey, that's what you're equipping people with. So this is a good book to have. So how are you getting out to the people, your book? Are you, a sad thing to say, you're going to women's groups, or you're going to senior citizen homes, or just on the radio? How is your book getting out there? Because this is a book that everybody should have.
Oh, thank you, Renee. It's on Amazon.com, and I steer people there. I've done about 20 or 25 radio interviews. I've done some guest blogging, probably about 10 guest blogs from Proverbs 31 Ministries, Living Well, Spending Less, to a whole bunch of the, you know, the big blogs like that to get the word out. And the more people know and share, because even if you aren't going through grief at this point, a friend or family member may be, and if you're not, grief doesn't bypass any one of us. We will at some point in our life have to deal with loss, whether it's a person, a body part, a pet, a job, a house, a relationship, whatever. Loss is loss, and it causes grief.
So it's not just for the death, it's also for loss of job, separation, and divorce. This book is good to have. This is really awesome. Because, again, I was thinking like the AARP, usually in the month of June, July, they had that big convention. And I remember working at the Urban League, which is a senior division, and these two ladies would come in, it's the desk behind me, and they would listen for calls because they were the women that would counsel, will encourage, will inspire and uplift women who have lost their husbands. Wow, this is really great. I'm glad. So what's next for you? What's next with the book?
You know what? We're going to do a push and a birthday party beach bash going up to August 27th, would have been Kyle's 28th birthday. So I'm going to have 28 guest bloggers leading up to it, one a day. And some other ones around that as we just celebrate it and create awareness on his birthday.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
That
so if it
works
really to come
nice.
Back then, I'd be honored to.
Wow. That sounds so beautiful. So we want to celebrate life, my listeners out there, not death. Celebrate that person's life. Encourage you. You said storytelling, tell stories. You didn't write a book about that person. Just letting everybody know that this person was here and a part of your life. And I never even thought about when you said when you move away, now those new people wouldn't know you had another child. And so, wow, this is really good. So we got about 30, we got 1 minute. Can you give everybody else your website?
Yes. DanceWithJesus.com is the book, so that's an easy one. And Susan B. Mead, S-U-S-A-N, middle initial B, MEAD.com. And on either one of them, I invite you to tell your story. And the other piece is, in doing that, you'll get a freebie that has my favorite prayers or a worksheet to tell your story. Because I want to help get what's in your heart and in your head down on a sheet of paper so you can see how far you've come.
Wow. Thank you, Susan B. Mead, for your lovely presentation and your story, Dance with Jesus, From Grief to Grace. Thank you. And you're gracefully spoken and educated and informed us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Renee. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Same here. You take care.
Yes, ma'am. You too. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you. You too.
Listen to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.